the book of 2 Samuel this evening, 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 12. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 12.
2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 12 reads this way. It says, "It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we do thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people in your house. And then, Lord, being reminded that you are in our very midst. And so, Lord, we pray and ask you, Lord, for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you tonight. And then, Lord, that we might be able to set aside all the cares of this life to focus in and to open up our hearts and minds to receive your truths that you have for us to walk in and to experience and to grow in. So bless us, Lord, your people. Bless your word. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is, "The Lord Will Requite Me Good for His Cursing This Day." That's a good outlook for a believer to have. The Lord will requite me. He's going to give me good for His cursing this day. And then another title would be, "Understanding the Heart for God." The Heart for God. This is King David, and we know that he is a man after God's own heart. God picked him up as a young boy, teenage boy probably, and anointed him to be the next king of Israel. Wow, what a promise, amen. And let me ask you a question: did God hold to that promise to David? Did he make him king? He did. Question: did David ever think he was never going to get there? Yeah, he did. When Saul was after him, he thought, "Oh, I don't know if this is going to happen. I better run." And he went to Achish, and so. Sometimes believers can get a little bit overwhelmed, to say the least, but it's good for the child of God to rest in the grace of God. And so tonight I want you to focus in on three thoughts tonight. Let's consider this. Ziba's deception for gain, we'll look at that here. And then Shimei's false allegation for self-justification, and David's heart stayed on God. And before we get to those thoughts here, I want to remind you of Exodus chapter 20, verse 6. The Word of God says this, "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me." Might you be amongst those thousands? "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." And then Micah 6, 8 says this, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." That's what God wants us to do. That's the focus in on that. And you'll find that self has to be removed. There's no room for ourselves. We have to be wholeheartedly given unto the Lord in order to walk in these truths. And there may be times where that doesn't happen, but may we also be able to say there are times where I've experienced the mercy and the grace of God as I trusted Him completely with everything and wasn't concerned about the outcome. I wasn't concerned about myself getting the upper hand or the better hand or whatever it might be, but I was concerned about the Lord having His will and having His way in my life as He wants to do it. Because we need to be reminded, our ways and our thoughts are not God's ways and thoughts, but the child of God has been given the thoughts of God and the ways of God in His Word. So let's consider a couple of things tonight. Let's go back up to verse 1. And we find here Ziba. Here he is. He is Mephibosheth, if you'll remember, Jonathan's sons. He was a servant, but he was made kind of a partner. In other words, if you remember, Mephibosheth was lame on his feet. And so basically he was taking care of the real estate there, and he would do the farming, and then whenever the crops would come in, then they would go ahead and he would give his portion to Mephibosheth, and he would have a portion. And now we find here that David is on the run. Absalom has trying to overthrow his kingdom and take the kingship from David. And David completely put himself in the hands of God. And now all of a sudden Ziba says he's going to lie here is what we're going to see here. He's got an opportunity. David's on the run. And I'm going to use this to better enhance my situation. So, listen, there are some people that have the philosophy that they don't let any opportunity go to waste. Well, if it's an evil one, you better not touch it. Amen? Forget about letting it go. Don't touch it because it just takes your heart away from the Lord. And so notice it with me in verse 1. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, and 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 of summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. All right, so here's David, if you can imagine this. He's on the run from Absalom, right? Doesn't want to fight with Absalom. Absalom's taking advantage of this situation. Now here comes Ziba now, and he set this whole thing up. He knows David's heart right now is in turmoil. He knows that the tables have been turned against him, and he's on the run. And now watch what happens here. Verse 2. And the king said unto Ziba, what meanest thou by these? And by the way, he was the steward of Mephibosheth's things as well. And so he had access to these things. And notice what he says here. He says, what do you mean by these? And Ziba said, the asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and the summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And that was the only time, if you'll remember in the book of Proverbs, that it was those for who were sorrowful. It was never an alcoholic beverage. This wine in particular was never to drink and be inebriated. It was for the downcast in heart. And so he's saying, this is what this is for. Verse 3, and the king said, and where is thy master's son? Because he's the steward over it. Where's he at? I mean, you've got all of his things here. And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. For he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. You see this? So now he's saying, you know what he's saying? He's on Absalom's side. Now it's all going to come back to me. Now, chapter 19, you don't go there tonight, but or you can go there later on. But so what we find out is Ziba is trying to pad his pockets. This is not the truth about Mephibosheth. He had no idea that this was taking place. In fact, he told him another story, but we won't get into that right now. Verse 3. And the king said, where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. For he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. Then said the king unto Ziba, behold, thine are all that pertain unto Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king. Did you see what he did there? So in other words, he said, everything that belonged to Mephibosheth is yours now. This whole thing was set up. And you'll have to read chapter 19 to find out that he's lying. He's not telling the truth right here. He set all this up so that the king would do exactly what he did. His heart's downcast. And he said, now I've got another one. Remember, he brought him in. He was lame. He couldn't do anything. He says, you're going to eat at my table. Mephibosheth, he said, where is any of the relatives of King Saul that I might show mercy and kindness? That's the heart of King David. Now you have to remember who Saul was. Man, he persecuted him. He went after him all the time and constantly looking to do him in. I mean, he wasn't just looking to give him a hard time. He was looking to put an end to King David. He tried to set him up many times that he might finish him off. And who protected David? Amen. Let me ask you this question. Who protects you? Isn't that good? Isn't that good? And listen, we have to have that kind of confidence that, listen, God won't allow anything to happen to us unless he wants it to happen. And when he does, let's be compliant with it. We don't have to act like crazy people to defend ourselves. Let God be our defense. Let people, listen, Jesus said, if they hated me, who else are they going to hate? They're going to hate you. They're going to hate us, right? And so don't be surprised. God's telling us in advance, they're not going to like you. Now, does that mean, okay, well, since they don't like me, I won't like them? Is that what God wants us to do? No, not at all. He wants us to be kind. He wants us, and by the way, not in our strength, but in God's grace, in God's mercy. May we have a vivid understanding, a revelation from the Lord of the mercy that He's given to us. Who are we, after all? That we have been given the grace of God. God has revealed to you His great mercy and love to you and me personally, that we would be joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. You listen, do you know it was the priest's responsibility to defend the truth, to stand for the truth and to not give in? They were the ones that were to lead out in the truth to the rest of the people of Israel, the priests. Do you know that you and I are a royal priesthood? Do you know, listen, God needs us to look to Him for the strength that is needed, that we might stand in His strength, not ours. Because if we stand in ours, it'll be all wrong. But if we stand in His, it'll be right. David is standing right now. Even though things are going a little bit south right here with Mephibosheth and Ziba, but here's what I want to, or Ziba, I might pronounce his name either way, but here's the thing. At the end, everything was all squared up. All right? So now we're going to move on to the next trial. One trial after another. You ever feel like that? One trial after another. Well, listen, you're not alone. This doesn't just happen to you. It happens to us. But we need to be reminded we are in God's hands. I want you to know that the difficulties that you face are not foreign to anybody. Sometimes we feel like, oh, nobody knows. But I want you to know there's a lot of other people that know as well, right? We don't necessarily have all the same things going on in life, but we do have hard things that happen in our lives. And the Lord said it was going to be that way. It was going to be that way. But the cause and the reason for that is to now prove us, all these things happen unto us, to prove us whether or not we will look to the Lord or look to ourselves. Will we try to defend ourselves? Will we try to stand for ourselves? Or will we just trust the Lord? See, that's a little harder than, that's not natural. That's got to be supernatural from the power and the grace of God. So let's continue on here in verse 5. And now we find Shimei's false allegation of self-justification. Do you remember that I mentioned to you, and you can look back over here, when David took the kingdom, he was looking for any of Saul's relatives to show them mercy and good and kindness. Listen to what is being said here, verse 5. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, so he's a relative, whose name was Shimei, and the son of Gera, he came forth and cursed still as he came. So as he's coming, he's hollering at David and all the men there, and notice this, and he cast stones at David and at all his servants of King David, all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. This man's not too smart, is he? I mean, you know all the acts of David's mighty men. And they did some amazing things. He's got them on both sides of him, and they're throwing rocks. He's throwing rocks. He's throwing railing accusations and cursing as he goes, right? And so notice what happens here. Verse 7. And thus said Shimei, when he came out, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. He's calling David a man of the devil. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in mischief because thou art a bloody man. Did he ever hurt the house of Saul? That's a lie. He's lying. He's never done that. But he's being falsely accused. You don't have to answer this, but have you ever been falsely accused? And if you have, did you like it? Nobody would like it. Nobody would like that. But he was trusting in the Lord at this really difficult time. And listen, let me ask you this question. Does David have power with him? Does he have natural physical power right there that he could use? He could have leaned on that, couldn't he? Could have leaned on that. But then he wouldn't have been a man after God's own heart. He could have defended himself, but then he wouldn't have been a man after God's own heart. And so notice again, he says, hey, listen, here you are. You're a bloody man. Verse 9, then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog, that's what Zechariah thought about him. He's not even alive. He's a dead dog. His bite's not going to do anything. Can a dead dog hurt you? And so he didn't think much at all about this man. Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. Do you think he meant that? Yeah, he did. He did. But now let me ask you a question. Who was Zechariah looking to? Oh, he was looking to, I will do that. See, and if we're not careful, we kind of, this is what I'm going to do. And that is not the Spirit of God. Now, the flesh says, go get him. But no. That's not putting ourselves into God's hands, see? And so this is the battle. This is the unseen. David could have said, why is he doing that to me? That's not right. But listen where David comes from. But let's continue on right here. So he says, let me go over and take off his head. And verse 10, and the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zechariah? So let him curse. What did he see? Because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Do you know what David saw? Nothing came into his life. He didn't always see this. We don't always see it, but it's good to see it. Nothing comes to David unless it passes first by the authority of God. See? Everything that came into David's life had to go through the authority of God for his good. That's why it bothered him that he cut the skirt of Saul's robe, right? That's why it bothered him when you would think, oh, he didn't do anything. He just showed him he could have done something. No, it still bothered him, see? And that's because he had a heart for God, because he said, you know what? Because we're not supposed to put our hands against the Lord's anointed. And he wanted to honor that. Was it because of Saul or because of God? Was it because of Saul's authority or because of God's authority that David wanted to honor? So what do we want to honor? Saul was honoring himself. David wanted to honor God. Wait, at his own expense. See, that's when we really honor God, when we lay it all on the altar and say, Lord, have your will and your way with me, and this is it, and I'm good with it. I will be okay with it. And I'm not going to try to fix it. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to walk in this. All right? So he says, what do I have to do with you, ye sons of Zechariah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, verse 10, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? Why are you going to say that? Because you see, it's coming from God. God has allowed this. And David said to Abishai, verse 11, and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Did you see what he's saying right there? My own son has turned his hand against me, and God has allowed this. And the Lord did. The Lord's in control of this whole situation. And then how much more may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone and let him curse. That's a good piece of advice there. When everything's going upside down, leave it alone. Leave it alone and trust the Lord. Let him curse. Let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. Let me walk in this, for the Lord has allowed it. Verse 12. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction. Look how he knows the Lord. And that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. And the Lord did. Amen. The Lord did. He let him live. He let him live. But in Solomon's kingdom, there was another story there. He messed up. He was not supposed to leave his place. And he went out without his boundaries there. So we find this false allegation. And we find David's heart that was stayed on God. And he's staying on the Lord. And he's saying, the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. Will the Lord bless you for turning the other cheek as he's commanded? Will the Lord bless you for walking the second mile, going the extra mile? You hear that? Go the extra mile. The world says that. They don't know what it means. They think they do. They think it just means, no, it means allow suffering when it's coming from the hand of God, and when you don't understand it, don't try to fix it. Just seek the Lord at that time. Lord, I'm trusting you in this. I'm going to walk with you in this. So verse 13, and as David and his men went by the wayside, Shimei went along the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary, listen, and refreshed themselves there. They were, you know, what does it mean to be refreshed? You're rejuvenated. You've gained strength. Wait a minute. They would have never experienced the Lord's refreshment if they would have handled it with themselves. Because see, God wants mercy. We read it just, he has showed thee, Micah 6:8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? Listen, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly, not to think too much of ourselves, with thy God. See, if we're proud, we're not walking with the Lord. If we don't love mercy, we're not walking with the Lord. If we're not doing justly, we're not walking with the Lord. David wanted to walk with the Lord, and in so doing, he got refreshment in the midst of the trial. While Shimei was still throwing the stones and the dust as he went, he was refreshed there because David pointed them all to the Lord when he said, it may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and he will, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day, and God refreshed them all. That's what the Bible says, that they found refreshment, that they put their hope, they were pointed towards the Lord and not towards justifying themselves. God wants us to understand what it means to have a heart for the Lord, and that means to submit ourselves wholeheartedly into his hands. I trust you, Lord. Don't understand it. May you fill me with your spirit that I might walk upright as you would have me to. Not as I think you want me to, but as you would have me. May I walk humbly and not in my pride, not in arrogance, but submitting myself to you, knowing that you are working out all these things in my life for your honor and glory. That's easy to say. But it requires a pursuit of the Lord to allow it to take place. What does that mean? God, in the morning, however you want to do it, I need you today. I have no idea what I need today. Do you, day by day? Really? Do you really know what you need? Is it going to be mercy? Is it going to be grace? What's going to come into your life that God is going to want to use you for in his honor and glory? And the only way that we can do that is we have to, you know, that God says he blesses those that wait upon him. That means they take their time and they find an altar, they make an altar somewhere, and they call upon the Lord because he's worthy. I don't care what the world thinks. I don't even care. Listen, I wouldn't even care what my family thought if they didn't like it. I'm blessed not to have a family like that. My immediate family. But even my extended family, I don't care. I'm going to call upon the Lord. You know why? Because he died for my sins. And he is worthy. He's worthy, is he not? So I'm going to trust him. That's faith. He said if I'd call on him, he would hear an answer. Did he not? How often do we need the Lord? Every day, all the time. So let's call on him because he's worthy. And let's expect him to fulfill and guide our lives for his honor and glory. We don't want to act like we act. We want the Spirit of God to guide us into his ways. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you again for more of your truth, more understanding, more revelation of your will for our lives and how to walk and follow after you into the green pastures. May you open up our hearts and minds to not only hear your word, but to receive it and to ask you, Lord, to guide us in it that we might walk in your ways. Bless, Lord, the rest of the time as we break off for prayer, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.